Okay, New Testament. Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. Now, this is the beginning of Mark. Mark, of course, is our gospel for Series B. And a couple of orientational remarks here. This is at the very beginning. The action is fast. Jesus is beginning his ministry. He's already cast out an unclean spirit in verse 23. That unclean spirit knows who he is and gives a testimony to who he is, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebukes that spirit and so forth. And notice in verse 23 is the second word, oithes, immediately. So our text in verse 29 has this oithes immediately. And in verse 28, right at the end of the previous pericope, you have an oithes there as well. And the report about him went out immediately everywhere. So now this is going to start this way with oithes. And you see another one in verse 30. If you're following in the Nestle text, it's right under the number 30. So the high intensity picture of Jesus is well portrayed here. Now I want to point out something else, and hopefully this will be enshrined in my Mark commentary, which I'm working on. But in these, in the early part of the gospel, some of you have heard me say that the style of Mark switches about halfway through the gospel. In chapters 1 to 7, there's a little different set of characteristics of the Greek than there is from 8 onward. In chapter 6, the story of the execution of John the Baptist is more or less like the latter chapters as well. And one of the things that's different is that in the early chapters, you have a general patterning of tenses in these pericopes, and it goes something like this, that the pericope will begin with sometimes an imperfect, other times an aorist, but all of the verbs that describe what's happening will tend to be in the aorist tense, sometimes in the imperfect, but they will be in a past tense. And then the verb concerning speaking, when they're speaking, will be in the present. So, for example, if you look at verse 30, legusin, they say to him. See, that's an example. And then what will tend to happen is that the pericope will end with an imperfect, not with an aorist. And you can see that in verse 31, da kanai is an imperfect. Then in the next pericope, starting 32 through 34, you have the main verb aphien, which is also an imperfect. And you have, it doesn't work quite so well with the next one, but the verb of speaking, the two verbs of speaking, in verses 37 and 38, you have legusin and legai, and they are both in the present tense. And this is just a very interesting pattern that happens. By the way, we're going to stop at verse 39, but it's there's a beautiful example of this in the next pericope, which is 40 through 45. So this is a set of characteristics that's not found in the latter part of the gospel. There, the verbal aspect's a little bit more straightforward, but you will find this in the first part. So let's go on verse 29. And immediately upon coming out of the synagogue, now that's the previous incident where he healed the man with the unclean spirit. And by the way, notice in verse 23 that it's an unclean spirit, not an evil spirit, as the NIV translates it. The whole business of clean and unclean is big in the Gospel of Mark. It's huge in chapter 7. So you have to watch that. And immediately after he had gone out of the synagogue, he went into the house eistein oikion into the house. And normally oikia differs from oikos in that oikia tends to be the house, the physical thing, as opposed to something like the house and lineage of David. I mean, they can be sort of used interchangeably, but that's the general way it goes. So he went into the house of Simon and Andrew with Jakobu kai Ioannou, with Jacob and John. A little reminder that James and Jacob are the same name. It's why in German, Jakob is James, and there's nobody running around named Yames in Germany. Those are Jacob people. 30. He de Penthera, a little bit unusual. You see a de there. In the first part of the gospel, overwhelmingly, chi is used as the connector, whereas in the latter part of the gospel, it tends to be de. And one of the things that that happens then is that you have, when you use de, you can have a subject-verb-word order a little bit easier than it is with chi. In chi, it's often a verb-subject-word order. Verse 30, and the mother-in-law of Simon, katekaita, was lying, puresusa, that's a feminine participle, puresao, which is to have a fever. Now, how does that participle relate to the main verb? Well, the main verb is a verb of either motion or anti-motion. In this case, it's anti-motion, was lying there. The participle is following the main verb physically. It is. It's the next word. It is in the predicate position, doesn't have the article in front of it, and it is in the nominative. Under those four circumstances, it's almost always a tendon circumstance. So the mother-in-law was lying, fevering, was lying there being feverish. Not while she was having a fever, but being feverish. And immediately, oithes, by the way, notice that that's a feminine participle, hence the usa ending instead of own. And immediately they say to him concerning her, note that the they could be Simon and Andrew, or it could just be the people who were around about there. And straightway, immediately they say to him concerning, speak to him concerning her. And pros elthon, upon coming, agairen, he raised her up, kratesas, by grasping the hand. That is to say, by grasping the hand of her hand. You'll note that there is a variant reading there of autes, and that would be the hand of her, which is her hand. Often the article is used for possession with body parts. And pros elthon, upon approaching, aorist, active participle, nominative, masculine singular, agairen, he raised her, could be an imperfect, could be an aorist, they would both look the same. It's a liquid verb, so it's agaira in the in the first person singular, but it's probably an aorist because your normal pattern in these is to use aorists for the narration of activity. He raised her, and then kratesas, interesting form. It's an aorist active participle, masculine singular nominative. Notice that it follows the main verb. It's in predicate position. And this will be generally means, or it will be the same activity as the main verb when it's in this following position. He raised her by grasping her hand. Probably not to be translated, he raised her after he had grasped her hand. but this tells how the activity took place. And afeken, aorist active indicative third singular, afeken autein ha puretos, and the fever, note that there's a relation to the word fire, the fever left her, afeken. I want you to notice that afeken is the verb afiemi. It's an aorist with that kappa stem. And afiemi, you know mostly as to forgive. But it can mean to allow, to let, and it also can mean to leave. And that's what you have right here. The fever left her. Kai da konai autois, and she proceeded to serve them. She began to serve them. Nice imperfect concludes the pericope, and in addition, it gives you that inceptive notion. By the way, notice the epsilon iota is at the end because it's a contract verb, diakoneo. 32. Opsias de genomenes, after evening had come, so late having happened, after evening had happened, hote when edi ha helios, when the sun had gone down. Now that form edi, let's just look at that. That's from D-O or D-no. Either D-O or with a N in between, D-no. I want you to notice the variant reading there. Kind of important. The variant is Edisen, read by B and D, two quite unlike manuscripts. And it notice that in your Nestle-Aland text, it's got the dagger there, which means that in the 25th and earlier editions, that's what was read up in the text. So the idea here is that this is a pretty close call now, whether or not you want to read edisen or edi. And what's the difference? Well, it's a very old verb, and it means when it's transitive, to make to sink, to plunge something, like you plunge the bobber under the water. Or if it just goes down, the bobber sinks, then that's intransitive. Often with the intransitive meaning in classical Greek, this very old form without a sigma, it's an old strong form, edi, this was normally used. The form edisen would be a weak form and would be conforming to more regular verbs. I mean, this is kind of like saying, instead of saying by bought, you'd say by bide, making it regular. So the form in the footnote, edisen, would be kind of more what the everyday person would have said. The more classical form is edi, and that would parse out both of them. Parse out as third person singular, aorist, indicative, active. So again, edi is this third singular. It is a classical form, and it is an old strong aorist. It would be very much like an old strong aorist like este, he stood, or ebbe, he took a step, he went. So when the sun had gone down, and I'm translating that as pluperfect because the idea would be that the sun went down first before, because it's not saying when it was going down. Epheron pros auton pantas tus kakos echentas. They began to bring, they proceeded to bring to him, pros auton, all the having badly people, all the folks having badly, echentus kakos. Now, this is a great classical construction. Echo plus the adverb, kakos, is the same as aimi, the verb to be, plus the adjective. So you could have had tous, and then you'd use untas and cuckoos. But the classical way to do it was echo plus the adverb. So all those having badly is all those who were in a bad way. They were bringing to him all the people who were in a bad way, and tous daimonizomenus, the ones who were being afflicted with demons, were being demonized, and ein hole he polis episyna syn egmene prostain thiran, and the whole city was gathered facing the door. Now note, ein episynegmene is a composite form. It is a paraphrastic. Episynago, synago epi. So to gather at some place. And that form, episynegmene, is a perfect passive participle. Now you can tell it's perfect passive because the eg is the stem. The alpha has gone to eta, like an augment to lengthen the stem in the perfect, eg. And then the men, hamburger helper here, for the participle is right on the gamma. Sun eg mene. There's no ega, there's no connecting vowel. So this is feminine, singular, nominative, perfect active participle. Now this is paired with ein to make a pluperfect periphrastic. The whole city was assembled, was gathered, was in a gathered condition. Pros the door. Pros the door, not epi the door. Pros is generally at, but facing. At, but facing. Rather than just standing in the vicinity of. So I mean, you can imagine this. This sounds completely realistic that they're kind of at the door and they're looking at the door. So, hole is whole, and it works just like pas works in that it can mean whole, but unlike pas, for pas to mean whole, it's got to be in attributive position. This, you'll notice, is in predicate position. The whole city was, the whole city was assembled at facing the door. 34. Kai ethera poison polus, polus, kakos, echentos. And he healed, note the use of the aorist for the simple description. He healed many having badly, many people being in a bad way. Poikilais nosois, they're in a bad way by, I think, dative of means, by, that's how they were in a bad way. Nosois is diseases. However, it's one of these O declension feminines. So that's why poikilais has the ending ice, not ois, feminine. Poikilais means variegated, that is to say, of various kinds. So, those who were in a bad way with, by means of variegated, various, all kinds of different diseases. Kai daimonia pola ex ebelen, and many demons he expelled throughout. Kai uk aphian, and he was not allowing la line ta daimonia, the demons, to speak. Now notice that la line is an infinitive, and it's a present active infinitive. So we've got to put some extra in there for verbal aspect, and we could say, he was not allowing the demons even to speak, emphatic, or to try to speak, connative, or to begin to speak, inceptive. But it's more than, he did not allow, see, it's not right to say he did not allow the demons to speak, because that's taking away all the verbal aspect. So it should be he was not allowing the demons to try to speak, to even speak out, because Adison, they knew him, they were knowing him. Adison is actually a pluperfect. This is the past tense form of oida. Oida is a perfect meaning to know. Adison, pluperfect. Note that old ending son there. Because they were knowing him. Again, aphien is an imperfect ending the sequence. We go on to 35. Kai pro'i ennucha li'an, and early in the middle of the night, exceedingly. So exceedingly early in the middle of the night, anastas, upon arising, ex eilthen, he went out, and ap eilthen, went away, eis erimon topon, into a desert place, kakai, and there, pros eicheta, he proceeded, began to pray. Note, just like the last pericope, the main verb that begins the thing in 32, it was epheron, was imperfect. This is pros aicheta, that's also imperfect. Then when you get going on the regular verbs in the story, kat edioxon, then you're going to have an aorist. Verse 37, hoiron, you're going to have an aorist. Your verb of speaking is legusin, and then legai, those are two presents. But it does end with an aorist rather than with an imperfect this time. But the same general pattern. So I should parse anastas. Anastas is an aorist active participle from anistemi. So in every pericope selection, you got to have a form of histemi. Here it is. It is a masculine singular nominative. It's strong. And because it's a strong form, it means that it is intransitive. He is not resurrecting somebody. He's just getting up. And extremely early, upon arising, he went out, or he arose and went out, and went away into a desert place. Note, Eremon, you know that word for desert, but it's actually an adjective. That is to say, desert, deserted. So you can use it to modify a word like tupon, place, a desert place, a deserted place. The reason you listening probably know it as a feminine noun, he eremos, is it's sort of implicitly modifying chora, area, or gay, land, which is feminine. But actually, it is in actual fact an adjective that can go around in its form depending upon what it's modifying. Kakai, this is two words smushed together. The yoda has elided out, and the epsilon has elided out, and you get for kai, ekai, and there you get ka-kai. Note that little apostrophe above the alpha. That indicates there's been elision. And there, pros oicheta, there he began to, proceeded to pray. Verse 36. Kai kat edioxon auton simon kai hoi met autu. And Simon and those with him pursued him down. Like we say, hunt him down, kata. You could just say pursued him, but they hunted him down. Kai hoiron, and they discovered him. They found him. Now this is an aorist, hoiron. In the aorist, especially the epsilon yoda at the front does not augment to eta ypsilon. This was customary. And hoiron, they found him, and They say to him, notice how the verb of speaking is this way, and they say to him, Hati is going to be the introducer of direct discourse, not indirect discourse. So they say to him, comma, quotation marks, Pontes Zetusin set, all are seeking you. Zetusin third, plural, present, indicative, active. All are seeking you. 38. Kai legai autois, and he says to them. By the way, notice how you have the kais all the way through here, and you don't really have des. When you get to the last part of the book, these conversations back and forth would tend to go back and forth with de rather than with kai. You can see that kind of thing when Pontius Pilate is talking, for example, to the chief priests. We won't look at it now, but if you take a look at Mark 15, 6 to 14, you'll see these hoi de, ha de, back and forth as they have conversations. Well, it doesn't happen that way in the first part of the book. And he says to them, agomen, that's a first singular present subjunctive active, let us go alahu, elsewhere, with that u, it's some other place, some place, and Allah is some other place, and another place. So let us go elsewhere. Eistas echemenas coma polis, into the neighboring villages. Now, I got to parse that echemenas there. That's interesting form. It is a feminine plural participle, and it is accusative case. It is accusative case, and it's feminine, modifying coma polis. Now, it's middle voice, though. It's middle voice. And if it weren't middle, you would have something like the villages that have. Well, it's not that. This is middle, and it's intransitive, and echo in the middle tends to have the meaning of like touching stuff that's right next to stuff. So, I don't know, maybe it came originally from having for yourself some idea of this, and so it's by you or something like that. But anyway, this is why you should probably translate it as the neighboring villages. So echo, to summarize that, echo in the middle has to do with something that's next to something else, into the neighboring villages. In order that, Hina is going to take the subjunctive. Thus, keruxo is going to be not a future indicative, but an aorist subjunctive, first person singular. It's active, of course. In order that also there I may proclaim. In order there I may preach. Now, of course, he is preaching, and what's he preaching? Well, that's back in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time stands fulfilled, the kingdom of God is staring you in the face, repent and believe in the gospel. So that's basically his message. In order that also there I may proclaim, for gar, I'm saying this because, so the gar is always the reason why you're making the point. For this reason, istuta, unto this, for this, ex aelthon, I have come out or gone out. Now notice I translated that as a perfect, and I did so because there's no time indicator such as, for this I went out early in the morning, or for this I went out today. So when the aorist does not have a time frame, it'll be translated as a perfect. And then verse 39, which actually kind of goes into another pericope if you want, otherwise... Otherwise, you just take it as a sort of a conclusion to the previous one. Kai eilthen kerison, and he went proclaiming into their synagogues in the whole of Galilee and casting out demons. Now, a couple of interesting points. Eilthen is a verb of motion. Kerison and ekbalon are these supplementary participles. They're in the nominative case, they're in predicate position, and they physically, in the syntax, follow the leading verb, the main verb. He went preaching and, end of the verse, expelling the demons. So he went proclaiming, or preaching into their synagogues. Note the phrase, their synagogues. This always comes up. It came up in verse 23 on the facing page. Into their synagogue. Now there's a kind of a clue that Jesus is at odds with the leadership of the Jewish community. So he went into their synagogues, into all Galilee. So he went out preaching. So he went out into the synagogues and into all Galilee, and he went out expelling the demons. So Jesus is preaching, and Jesus is doing miraculous work. Homiletically now, you're probably going to want to focus in this, especially in the early part of the gospel, of the dynamic preaching ministry of Jesus. The fact that he brings, you know, he says in 1:15, the kingdom of God is staring you in the face, has come and is now here, staring you in the face. Well, the reign and rule of God can be seen both in the preaching and in the expelling of the demons, and in the healing of the fevered mother-in-law, and in the healing of the variegated ills that the people had. In other words, Jesus is actually instantiating now, ahead of time, in history, the renewal of creation, when creation will no longer be broken, will no longer be sinful, will no longer be in decay, but will be in its fullness as God intended it at the creation. You can see all this. This is the instantiation of the coming of the kingdom of God. You also get here, I would say, in verses 35 to 37, this developing odd picture of Jesus. And this is very big in Mark, that Jesus is not some pretty boy, and he's not somebody who can be domesticated. He is a pretty awesome sort of figure, and a kind of a hard to figure out figure. So he gets up early, goes out in verse 35 into a desert place, and they hunt him down, and they find him and say, "Hey, everybody's looking at you and for you." And he doesn't say, "Oh yeah, you know, you're right, I shouldn't have done that." Oh no. But he says to them, "Well, let's go elsewhere into the surrounding villages. I came here to preach." So the image of Jesus that's developed in the Gospel of Mark is an image that is very much at odds with a comfortable image of Jesus. You know, he gets mad at in the very next pericope. He has mercy in verse 41 on the guy with the withered hand. He touches his hand. He purifies it. And then in verse 43, he gets upset. That verb embrimaomai in verse 43 has to do with snorting like a war horse. So it's kind of like, ha! Something like that. And he throws him out. So the picture of Jesus is not a comfortable one. And that's part of the Gospel of Mark. Well, the kingdom that is brought is not always comfortable. But the kingdom is surely coming in the reign and rule of Jesus Christ.